Described as withdrawn is usually not good. Withdrawing troops is usually not thought of as coming home in victory. But we read in connection with the slaughter of the babies of Bethlehem that both the Magi and the Holy Family withdrew from the murderous King Herod. So might there be a time for withdrawing from the slaughter of our innocents? Well, there's a good and there's a bad withdrawing. Withdraw from this widely held belief that abortion is a social issue, such as increasing the minimum wage, funding Social Security, or gun control legislation. A Christian can be on either side of a social issue. A Christian cannot be on either side of a moral issue. A Christian can no more withdraw from the abortion issue than a Christian could have withdrawn from Hitler's Holocaust or Stalin's purges. You cannot dismiss the murdering of the innocent for political, economic, or individual rights as a social issue. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Soviet dissident, compared not doing anything during Stalin's purges to pushing away the hands of those who were drowning. And he concluded, "Once you've been steeped in blood, you can only become more cruel." A Christian can no more withdraw from the abortion issue than he should have withdrawn from slavery. Try saying to another person today, "Oh, slavery was just a social issue." You will be attacked immediately. You will be told, "Don't you know, in defense of slavery, they legally declared blacks less than human. They declared them property that the owner could do with as he wills. They declared them devoid of rights." Well, how is that any different from calling the unborn tissue or a blob of cells? Or saying a woman can do anything she wants with her pregnant body, or a fetus has no right to equal protection under the law. A Christian in the 21st century can no more call abortion a social issue than a believer in 1st century BC or AD could call child sacrifice a social issue. Whether they sacrifice the child to a named god like Molech or the unnamed gods of expedience or common sense, a believer cannot withdraw from that. You're sticking your head in the sand if you don't know that abortion is pursued today with religious and scientific faith. The book, The Sacrament of Abortion, was dedicated to the goddess Artemis and was on the New York Times bestseller list for weeks in the early 90s. The May 1984 issue of Science had an article entitled Infanticide. It noted that Darwin believed it was, quote, probably the most important of all checks on population throughout human history. If you're withdrawing from the abortion issue under the guise of it being a social issue, you are without excuse before God. The blood of aborted babies is no less on your hands than on those of the doctors who kill them and the men and women allowing or paying for abortion. But if you're not withdrawing from the sin of abortion, you must withdraw from the belief that the wrath of man can work the righteousness of God. James 1 plainly says the opposite. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. And woe to the man who thinks it can. John Brown was a Christian who thought the injustice and sin of slavery justified force. He killed men in the name of stopping the enslaving of other men. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor who believed he was justified in plotting Hitler's assassination to end his murderous Holocaust. Scott Roeder is the born-again Christian who killed Dr. George Tiller in 2009. Tiller operated one of only three clinics nationwide that aborted unborn babies during their last trimester. His clinic was firebombed in 1986, and he was shot in both arms in 1993. But that didn't stop him. Roeder did. You will find Christians who defend Brown, Bonhoeffer's, and Roeder's actions as moral, noble, and Christian. Maybe you think so too. But what do you do with the slaughter of the innocents? What do you do with the fact that the Magi didn't try to raise an army? What do you do with the fact that Joseph didn't stay and fight? What do you do with the fact that Jesus himself fled to Egypt, leaving his children to die? I told you, unless you repent of withdrawing from abortion in the wrong way, you're as guilty as those doing them. Now I say, unless you withdraw in the right way, you'll eventually conclude that the use of deadly force is justified. You'll conclude that the political way to end abortion has not worked, cannot work, and since innocent human life is at stake, you must meet force with force. Scripture does say the wrath of man works not the righteousness of man, but it also says that God can use the wrath of man and restrain the part that isn't useful. That's Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain. Our text says Jesus' flight to Egypt that was occasioned by Herod murdering the innocent happened in order to fulfill the word of God. It does not say that the slaughter of the innocents happened in order to fulfill God's word. It says what was spoken was fulfilled. We have to see this very fine distinction the Holy Spirit is making. Matthew cites the Old Testament 10 times in his gospel. Only here and in the matter of Judas betraying Jesus does he not use the formula in order that. This shows God's intention and purpose did not rule in the death of Bethlehem babies or in the betrayal of Judas. But nevertheless, God's will was done and his kingdom had come. Jesus fleeing to Egypt and the death of the innocent babies are connected by the Holy Spirit in this way. In Jesus is all of Israel, all the children of God, and now that God has come to earth, Rachel, weeping for her dead children, can be comforted as she never could before. God is now on the scene to do what the first Israel did not do. The first Israel went down into Egypt as God's children, and they came out as idolaters. The second Israel went down into Egypt faithful and stayed that way. But Jesus is not just a second Israel. He's the second Adam, the son of mankind. And he stands in the stead of all humanity. He keeps the law in place of us all. He never committed a sexual sin, which often leads to the sin of abortion, not even in thought. He never raised his hand to hurt someone, let alone murder an unborn child. He was tempted to disregard life in all the ways that we are, to look down on the infirm, to not consider children a blessing, to look at the aged as useless. But never once did he give in to those temptations. The couple dozen men that John Brown killed did not pay for the sin of those men or his own. Bonhoeffer's blood being shed did not cleanse him or any of his many followers from their sins. Tiller's blood being shed didn't pay for his murderous sins and made Roeder guilty of Tiller's blood. The wrath of God, however, does work the righteousness of God by taking his only beloved son, perfect, complete, and holy, and torturing him, and ridiculing him, and beating him, and spitting on him, and nailing him to a cross, and then abandoning him to hell. God's righteousness was won for all sinners in Jesus' name. Hell is what murderers deserve. Hell is what anyone who thinks abortion is a tragic choice, a perplexing social issue, or a necessary evil deserves. Hell is what the doctors who do abortions deserve. Hell is what the men who pay for abortions and the women who get them deserve. Eternal hell. Nothing cooler, nothing shorter, nothing less. And if they want it, they can have it. But Jesus took their place. He took the place of the man who sacrificed his baby to Molech. He took the place of the Roman who exposed his deformed child to die. He took the place of the slave owner who beat his slave to death. He took the place of Nazis who murdered whoever they felt like. And he took the place of men and women getting abortions and those staffing abortion clinics. Jesus took all their places in hell. God ended the child sacrificing of the Canaanites by having Israel destroy them. God ended the child sacrificing of Carthage by having Rome destroy them. God ended the infanticide of the Romans by having them fall one by one into the fate that God became an infant for them to redeem all human life, even the life of murderers. Luther said that when you're dealing with abortion or infanticide, you're dealing with the devil. Quote, where does this come from, that a mother would kill the fruit of her own body? It is certain they were possessed by the devil. You and I are no match for the devil. We go up against him in our strength, our reason, our way, and we will end like John Brown, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and Scott Roeder. Nothing you and I have can stop Rachel from weeping for her children, whether Rachel is guilty of killing her own, has suffered a miscarriage of one, or never had a chance to have one. Nothing we have or do can stop her tears. But God is able to do what we cannot. Not only can he use the wrath of man to praise him, he can dry undryable tears. Jeremiah says that. Jeremiah says Rachel was weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted. Then he goes on, the Lord, that is Jesus, the Lord Jesus says, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. This is exactly like Jesus telling the widow of Nain at the loss of her only son, stop crying. Either he is being cruel and heartless, or Jesus is saying there's no reason for tears because he's on the scene. You can't deal with the devil of abortion, the murders of the unborn, or the tears of the guilty and pain by abortion, or those who feel cheated by lack of life. But Jesus can, Jesus does. He says to the dead, live. He says to the guilty, forgiven. He says to those not getting all they hope for in this life, there's another life quite different from this. Rachel's weep here and now, but not there and forever. Let the centuries-old colic that we prayed direct you to the proper way to withdraw. We prayed, put to death in us all that is in conflict with your will, that our lives may bear witness to the faith we profess with our lips. We profess to believe in a day when Jesus will certainly judge the hearts and lives of all men, not us. We profess to believe vengeance is God's, not ours. We profess to believe that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and the knowledge of the truth. We profess to believe that as there was comfort, answers, and justice for Rachel in Jesus, so there is for us in anyone who withdraws to him until, as Psalm 47 says, these calamities which we cannot solve in our wisdom or bear in our strength, until these calamities be overpassed. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.